Okay, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were driving down to Chicago, and I listened to I love podcasts. Okay, so I'm like always listening to podcasts. The one that I chose, so when I'm with my wife in the car, I choose different ones because she doesn't care, you know, if the Packers are favored by 5 against the Seahawks, and you know who's going to start at outside linebacker and what. She likes the Packers, but not to the same level. So when I'm with my wife in the car, I usually try to pick podcasts that maybe both of us will listen to. And the one that I chose was, dude, you guys, it was so good. It was so good. It was too good because it made me catch the feels. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like, when you're driving and crying at the same time, you're like, like, I'm trying not to kill my wife, you know? That's like one of my goals in life. And so, yeah. Yeah. I think one of the reasons that this podcast was so moving to me, though, was because it made me realize of, like, things that I take for granted. And I'll tell you more about it in a second, but I think that that happens almost constantly. It's aware of and thankful for all of the blessings that we have. So it's easy. Like, how many of you guys have ever gotten to the point, maybe at fall retreat, where you're like, I don't smell as good as when this thing started, you know? And you go to your bag and then you realize, I don't have any clean socks or underwear. And at that point, you realize how much you take for granted clean underwear and socks, you know, when you don't have it. When you forget your deodorant. This is really just, boys, I really want you guys to pack well and bring deodorant. You're required to shower. It's a requirement on fall retreat now, so it's for the benefit of our community, no questions. And so, but here, some amount that you realize, like, man, sometimes I take this for granted. What'd you say? Sharpie pens. I thought you said shark attacks. I was like, dude, does anyone else think that? Okay, that's good. What else? Sometimes we take that for granted. Wi-Fi's only existed for like 6 years. It's ridiculous. Food. Sometimes food, right? We're rarely like going, yeah, what do you got? What'd you say? Water. Guys, oh no, I'm not taking any more suggestions, okay? Suggestion time is over. Cachone, put your phone down. Put his phone down. No, listen, water. And to be honest, I want to talk about water this morning. That was a great answer. Guys, bring it in. So I was listening to this podcast, and it's this guy who, he founded a charity that brings clean water to people who don't have any. It's called, and I think one of the things so they don't have clean water. Let me up a sec. The guy's name is Scott Harrison. He founded the life was changed by the gospel. See, what happened was he was actually, his full-time job was city. Nathaniel, can you put your phone away, man? That'd be really respectful. He goes to clubs constantly. People come to drink and to dance. They're not coming to an empty night, right? The club can satisfy its customers because this is what he did. So night in and night out, he was getting drunk, inviting people. He traveled around doing this, not only in New York City where he was mainly, but in other parts of the world. And he tells the story of one morning at 5 a.m. he was trying to go to sleep and the music was still going, and all he wanted was for it to stop. All he wanted was see, the emptiness of that lifestyle had caught up with him. That's how he would describe it now. Anyway, some weeks passed, he describes it like this. Doing right, he leaves New York City. What to do next, except that he knows that he wants to make a difference in the world. And do something good. He feels like all he's been doing is living for himself. Now he wants to do something for others, right? And time, like, he types up his resume for these things, all they see is like that he's been a club promoter for 8 years, and none of the organizations will accept him, like, to go and do mission work, to go and help people who are struggling. And so what happens is he finally gets a yes. Someone finally to places with poor health care, and the doctors will provide services for free. So when these ships come and the doctors come out and they set up their mini clinic, right, they're just swamped with people. In fact, the doctors turn away more people than they actually can help because there's too many people in need of medical services for them to help everyone before they have to go home. They have too little doctors and too few hours and nurses to do all the things that they need to do. And so he's seeing this, he's seeing all these people with real physical needs, with real hardships, they have to be turned away. And so this is a real struggle for him. But what he does is he goes into the city, into one of the villages, to see what it's like for these people that he's interacting with. And he notices something interesting. As they drink, he sees that the water they're drinking from is the nastiest, dirtiest water he's ever seen in his life. They share the water with livestock. They share this little pond, their only source of water. They share it with dead animals or bugs, diseases are rampant. And he realizes that so many of the diseases that these people are coming for to get medical care for, to get health care for, could be prevented if these people had clean water. And that was hard for me to hear because I never have to make the choice between, this is, let me just lay this out for you guys. Walking distance. Now, they don't even have the dirty pond in their town. In fact, the closest walk they have is the dirty pond 6 hours. It affects women more than it affects men. The men go to school and they work, and the women can't go to school because they have to spend all day retrieving one bucket of water. 6 hours there, 6 hours back. To get a bucket of dirty water. And people are dying because they're getting sick and they're drinking this stuff, and the women can't be educated, they can't stay in school, because their job is to get water for their family or everyone will die. So these are the choices that they have. The choices that we have are like, man, we can have clean, fresh tap water, or we can have super clean, triple filtered Starbucks water. You know, like, these are the choices we deal with. We can we get the drinking fountain, or maybe we can upgrade to some Aquafina, you know? But, like, we never struggle with this. And this was really hard for me to hear because I realized that I had taken for granted something that was crucial for functioning as a human. Today we come to a passage in the book of Hebrews where we hear about people who are taking for granted something crucial for their thriving as Christians. Community. This is the last Sunday we'll be talking about church done differently. It's probably not the last Sunday we'll be talking about community. TBH. Because it's something that I think about a lot. I think about it a lot for you guys. As like your pastor and wanting to care for you and wanting to protect you and wanting you to know Jesus. Man, it's so hard to do that apart from community. That I just long for like really deep and meaningful community for all of you. I long for all of you to connect. To not feel like you're alone when you come here. And so this will be the last Sunday we talk about it, but we're coming to a passage in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 where we see people who are taking for granted community. And because they take for granted community, they end up malnourished, sick in their faith, right? Their faith atrophies. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Let me read it for you now. We're actually going to split this into two sections. So if you're taking notes, section 1 is about assurance. Section 2 is about action. We're going to talk about assurance first because it leads to action. Hebrews chapter 10. All right, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. This is the gospel. If you guys are like, man, I don't know how to share the gospel with my friends, just bookmark this page in your Bible. This is the gospel. Therefore, brothers and sisters, now they're family, they weren't family before. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. They were far off from God. We are far off from God. We are dead in our sins, and now we can have a relationship with him. Genesis 1, God creates Adam and Eve. Conversation together. There is sin. But here in Hebrews, we see relationship, right? We have confidence to enter the most holy place. We can be with God again by the blood of Jesus. That is the one way to God. This is the gospel. It is a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. You guys remember when we talk about Easter and like the cross, the curtain tears from top to bottom as Jesus dies. Because of the cross. So also his body is torn, but it's making a way for us to get into the most holy place. The tearing of his body. That's what the writer's talking about here. The writer of Hebrews. And now we have a great priest over the house of God. That's Jesus. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. And a sincere heart really means you can draw near to God without being fake. Right? You can keep it 100. With God. Because of what Jesus has done. You can. You can be you. You can be you. In all of your flaws and all of your failures, you can approach God. This is the beauty of the gospel. I think I want to say one side note and then move on so we have plenty of time today. I've had this conversation with some of you, and I know because some of our staff has had these conversations with some of you. You talking about this. And I know because I've experienced it in my own life. But there can be moments where you ask yourself, how do I know? And that's a good question to ask. It's not a bad question to ask, right? We want to be saved. We want to be able to meet with God. We want a relationship with him. We know he's working for our good. We know that heaven is better than hell, right? We know all these things. So it makes sense that we'd want to know, like, man, I want relationship with Christ. I want communion with God. I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. And so good questions to ask. I think where we get into trouble is when we ask that question and then look around the room and think, man, if I'm comparing myself to that person, they clearly have faith, right? They clearly are walking with the Lord. I don't feel like I measure up to that person. Or, man, I'm not as joyful as I thought I'd be. Shouldn't I be more joyful? if I'm a Christian? And so we may say, am I really a believer? It doesn't seem like my faith is that strong. Does God really care for me? But what this passage says to us, what Hebrews 10 says to us, is that we don't have assurance based on like how well we perform. Look at the passage again with me. With the full assurance that faith brings. With the full assurance that faith brings. Do you know the assurance that faith brings? Because the problem can be that we think that we have assurance because our faith is either strong or weak. When we feel like our faith is strong, when we sense the presence of God more deeply, like when we're at Fall Retreat, when we're on a mission trip. I mean, like, the reality is, like, oftentimes these are the places where we have these moments where we're like, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm clearly, like, sensing God's presence. I'm clearly seeing that he's real. So what happens to your faith when you come back? What happens to your faith when you're not feeling it as much? But that's not the assurance that we're talking about here. That's not how the author looks at faith. It's not about how much you believe, it's about in who you believe. If it were up to you to maintain a certain level of faith, then your salvation becomes about you and up to you, and it's about your performance. But it's not about your performance. It's about Christ's performance on the cross. This is why he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. So yes, like, keep the faith, maintain the faith. But the reason you can do that is because he who promised is faithful. It's not how much you believe, it's in who you believe. So when the author says cling to Jesus, he's saying cling to Jesus, and you can do that because Jesus will cling to you. You can continue to have faith because Christ is faithful. So hold fast to Jesus. The second is not assurance, it is action. Hold fast to each other. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of the book of Hebrews starts, as we've been finding this with like a lot of the passages, he starts with doctrine, and then the doctrine leads to doing. Doctrine is just a fancy word for like what you believe, right? We all have doctrine. Some of you guys are like, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not like a theologian. We all have theology. We all believe things about God. Atheists have doctrine. People who are Muslim, believe in Islam, they have doctrine. Christians have doctrine. This is what makes different denominations, because different denominations love doctrine. They believe different things. So like, if you're a Lutheran, you can baptize a baby, and if you're at our church, you can't baptize a baby. That's just like an example. But we all have doctrine. And the reason that we continue to see, like, here's the gospel, here's what you do because of it, is A, because we as humans need to be reminded of the gospel over and over again, but B, because what we believe determines what we do. So let's believe the right thing so that we make sure we do the right thing. The root of all sin is based in unbelief. If you have the sin of greed, it is based in your belief that you need something to fill the void, like greed. If I have this, I'll be satisfied, right? And so you're saying God is not God. God is not enough, which leads to greediness. Ask you, if I were to ask you, like, hey, do you guys think God is enough? Do you think he's like, is he perfect? Is he holy? Is he all satisfying? I think many of you, maybe most of you, maybe all of you would say, yeah, sure, I believe that. But when you're greedy, what you're saying is, I actually believe he's good enough as long as I also can have these other things, right? He's almost good enough. Okay, this is how belief determines action. If you believe that you are better than someone else or more valuable than someone else, then you're not going to treat them like they're valuable. You're not going to care for them or love them, because your belief will determine your action. Doctrine determines deeds. So we start with the gospel, and now we're going to spend the rest of the time on what is the result of that doctrine in community. However, the writer acknowledges some have given up on the community. Look at this. Do not give up meeting together. That is one of the things that flows out of the gospel, right? We can meet with God. We can enter the most holy place. So stop giving up meeting with each other as well, right? You're in the same boat. However, some have rejected this community. Their doctrine is that community isn't all that valuable, and it isn't all that meaningful, and so they don't participate. Listen, they're drinking dirty water. They're drinking dirty water, and I think that, let me say this, I think it's easy to read this passage and be like, oh, but I keep showing up. But we all know, like, meeting with one another and, like, being in the same room as one another, right? We know that there's a difference between, like, I'm going to go to school and I'm actually, like, a student that's going to learn at the school, right? But I'm here. You can check the tally mark. And I struggled with whether or not to say this to you guys. But I'm going to. I think some of you have given up on community. Not a lot of you. But I think some of you show up because your parents make you, or because it's just what you do. It's just like part of your schedule. And so in some ways, you're in the habit of meeting together. You haven't given up on that. But when it comes to community, I think some of you are checked out. I say this out of love. And in one sense, like, I just really want to like, yell at you guys and be like, don't check out, you know, like, show up. But show up and be here and be real and share life with each other because it's good. But I also know that, like, you're not choosing to do it necessarily because you hate community. And I think the reason that some of us check out is not just because, like, hey, I'm too cool for this. But I gotta be honest, I think, like, and this is the part that really breaks my heart, that makes me think that you're drinking dirty water, that makes me think, in terms of faith, you're malnourished. I think the reason is because you don't believe Jesus is good enough. Listen. People stop showing up, it tells others that they believe that what happens here isn't important. But it also tells people that what happens here isn't important if you show up and you're not willing to, like, love those who are excluded and be with people when it's hard and be real with people when you're talking about real stuff instead of, you know, checking out. Because if Jesus matters to you guys, then community should matter. Because Jesus tells us that community matters, right? He says, this is how you'll know, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love each other. And so I think that when we don't love each other, what we're saying to the world is that we don't believe what Jesus says matters. That's real. That's what the Bible says. Like, when we talk about a church done differently, what we don't need is like, hey, everybody's going to try way harder. We're just going to try so hard to be nice to new people. What we don't need is that we're going to like try so hard to like be real in small groups and share what's going on. Those things are good. But what we need is for Jesus to matter most. And if Jesus matters most, then yeah, we'll listen to what he says because what he says will matter to us. And if Jesus matters most, then we'll treat people with love because we've been loved first. But when we give up on community, you're giving up on Jesus because Jesus commands community. I had a mentor in college, and he said this to me, and at first I was like, nah, that's not true. He's like, how come this guy isn't showing up anymore? And I was like, I don't know, he's busy, he's got other things going on. One of my friends. And he's like, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And there is, man. Because belief determines action. Because if you love Jesus, you'll love each other. This is why it starts with the gospel and then tells you don't give up meeting with one another. It starts with the gospel and then tells you to do good. It starts with the gospel and then says encourage each other. Why do we need these things? Like, why does Jesus command these things? Come on. We need encouragement. I need encouragement. Not only does Jesus hold fast and help us hold fast to community, but community helps us hold fast to Jesus. Like, it works both ways. And in this world, we need encouragement. So why not give up meeting together? Because, man, we need to hear that we're loved. And we need to be reminded that Jesus died for us. And we need to be reminded that we have people who are there for us, even if we look different or sound different or interested in different things. Maybe we need encouragement because the past tells us that people will hurt us. And maybe we need encouragement because the present tells us we're not good enough. Or our future tells us that, man, we shouldn't be very hopeful for what's coming next. Maybe we need encouragement because commercials tell us we're not satisfied with what we have. Or because schools tell us we need to try harder. Because social media tells us that we're not the prettiest. Right? Instagram tells us pretty clearly if we're not the most popular. Maybe we need encouragement because of that. Maybe we need encouragement because reality tells us that even if we had all of those things, it still wouldn't fill the void. Because that is the reality apart from Christ. Of course we need encouragement. It's tough out there. It is, right? I need encouragement deeply and profoundly, and so do you. When you give up on community, you're giving up on encouragement. You're giving up on being spurred on to doing good works. But listen, you weren't created to be a castaway on an island. You weren't saved to an island. You weren't saved to be alone and to be discouraged and to do evil. You were saved for community, to do good works, right? Spur each other on for good works, for encouragement, to be together. You know, the irony of many of these villages that Charity Water goes to is that there's like clean water underneath the village, right? If they could only dig deep enough. And so what happens is they go into these places where these women have been conditioned, man. Like, my day starts when I wake up, I grab my bucket, and I walk for 6 hours. And then I fill my bucket up with pretty dirty for my family, and I walk 6 hours a day, right? And they're shocked to find that there's clean water right underneath their feet. Charity Water comes in, and they've raised money to drill. Eventually, the water sprays up like a geyser, and you can watch these videos of these people being like, there's so much joy. Know what this means for their family. They know that if they have daughters, their daughters can go to school now because they don't have to spend all day going to retrieve water. And they know that their infants are much more likely to survive. And they know that, hey, if you're a mom, you don't have to decide between bathing your kids or washing their clothes because you have enough water, right? And so their life is changed when they find this water, but it happens that oftentimes it's right beneath their feet. But as long as they stay shallow, they don't see it. One time, the guy describes this woman who's watching the drilling happen. And when the water bursts and starts to spray up in the air, all these people around are like laughing and jumping and dancing through the rain, kind of like you would see if like a fire hydrant went up and you like watch kids in it. But not this woman. She was weeping. She was just weeping. Everyone else is laughing and cheering, and she's crying, and she's broken. And they go up to her, and they ask her, "What's wrong? Why are you crying? This is a happy day." And she responds, "Do you mean to tell me my entire life I was walking 8 hours a day to retrieve water, and there was water beneath my feet?" Some of you have been walking right past community for a while. Some of you have been pretty shallow in community. And because you refuse to dig deep, you're discouraged. and your faith is malnourished. And guys, just stop. I say just stop, knowing that the only way that you're going to stop is if your heart is transformed by a love for Jesus. By knowing that he allows you to be in community with each other, first by allowing you to be in community with the Father. Right? Man, don't give up meeting together. Be encouraged in your faith. Be built up. Have good, strong faith because you have good, strong family that reminds you and points you to Jesus so that you're transformed in your love for him, knowing his love for you and what he's accomplished for you on the cross. This should be like so encouraging to you guys. This should be so encouraging to you guys to read this passage and read, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That should be so encouraging, unless, of course, you don't know Jesus. And then you're going to say, man, all this talk about community, I don't care about it. And all this talk about me having my conscience sprinkled clean, having my body washed with pure water, being in relationship with God, I don't care about that. If you don't know Jesus, this passage means that you'll never know the community of the people of God. So, what do we do? And I would say this, believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. We want to see church done differently. We want to see a community of people that love each other. We want to not give up meeting together. We want to do good works, right? We want to be involved in what it looks like to spur each other on. We won't do it without Jesus. So believe in the gospel. Believe that it's true that Christ died and has made a way into the most holy place of God. That through faith we can have access to it, even weak faith. Because the weakness or strength of your faith won't determine whether or not you experience good community or whether or not you experience God. The strength of your faith isn't what determines it. It's who you have your faith in. So cling to him. He will cling to you. And as we do that, we'll cling to each other. The gospel will transform us. I believe that. For those of you that are sitting here and being like, man, I wonder if Justin's talking about me when he says that I've kind of given up on community. I would ask yourself if the Holy Spirit's telling you that. Man, because I can't. I don't know your heart. I don't know your motivations for why, sometimes I sense that you're checked out. But I would say, search your heart and ask yourself, do I believe in Jesus? And talk to me about it, because I would love to talk with you guys about it. Okay, I'm just rambling now. But guys, this passage, I'll tell you, when we planned the series, this was the one I wanted to get to the most, and they're all good, but I want so deeply for you guys to experience community that matters, community that digs deep, community that shows you the love of Christ. Apart from Jesus, you won't. So believe in him. Trust him. Know his love for you. I love you guys. But it's far more important than Jesus does, you know. And I want you to be in community, but I can only, encourage you in that direction. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, we all fail. There are all of us have times where we, in our hearts, give up meeting with each other. And I know God, that we are sinful and we believe the wrong things about you and about each other. And so, Lord, transform us in your Spirit's power. I pray that the world would know that we're your disciples because of how we love each other. And Lord, I'm convinced that the only way that'll happen is if the gospel transforms our hearts, that we know that Jesus has died and has risen again, and we believe in that truth. So I pray that the Spirit would work in our hearts now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.